It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Our house is burning. That tweet from the French president throws fresh focus on a gathering of foreign leaders. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. President Emmanuel Macron has called for forest fires in the Amazon to be top priority at the Group of Seven meeting starting tomorrow in France. His comments angered Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, who accused Mr. Macron of using the issue for political gain. The BBC's Hugh Schofield has more from Biarritz.
Emmanuel Macron put out a tweet with a photograph of burning Amazonia. The picture, unfortunately, was not contemporary, but an old one. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has reacted very, very forcibly, saying this kind of interference smacks of neo-colonialism. The big powers going to sit round a table at a resort in France and discuss something that's happening in my country, Brazil, and I'm not even there.
Now, the theme of the conference this year is reducing inequality. What are some of the other big issues that are likely to be discussed?
The topics of really of the day, Iran, French and European attempts to sort of broker some new deal to save the deal that's collapsed after America walked out on it, whether or not the world is about to enter a recession and the trade war between America and China. And then there's this issue that France is very much at the heart of taxing big tech giants. Of course, there was the issue of personalities, and everyone will be on the lookout for whatever new Trumpism comes out, and to see the chemistry between Boris Johnson, the new British Prime Minister, and Donald Trump.
Now, usually at the end of these meetings, we see a formal communique from the attendees kind of laying out what they discussed. But President Macron, who's hosting this year, said for the first time ever, they won't issue one of those.
He was absolutely scornful. He said, no one ever reads them. We don't even read them. A rather sort of revealingly stark and honest assessment of what we've all been told to take very seriously over the years. I think he wants an informal encounter between world leaders to influence in a more general nudging way how the world develops.
Sounds like a spicy weekend ahead. Hugh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares and the dollar are higher as investors await comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell later today. Gold, meanwhile, is on track for its worst week in nearly 5 months. If you don't know this voice, you soon will.
If only there was somebody tall enough to reach our bowl.
Gerald!
What?
U.S. toy maker Hasbro has snapped up the UK-listed Entertainment One, which owns that children's cartoon Peppa Pig, for around $4 billion. It's the latest in a string of deals involving foreign buyers acquiring British brands. Emmalou Montgomery, Associate Director at Fidelity International, explains why.
First of all, the cheap pound has got a big effect on this because obviously UK businesses are going cheap. It's mostly down to the Brexit effect because there's so much uncertainty over here. The second reason why is that share prices are really low. There are plenty of bargains to be had. It sort of reflects the fact that buyers are confident once the dust has settled on Brexit, they have high hopes for the British economy recovering. But mostly it's the fact that these savvy investors are looking for buying opportunities.
So buying opportunity is certainly a factor, but there are other drivers within these industries that are helping drive these deals too.
There's a lot of competition in many, many of these sectors at the moment. And that means that consolidation is rife. Companies are looking at the ones that have got the business models that will set them up to survive better. There is so much competition. If you look at something like, say, the UK's online TV streaming audience at the moment, you've got Apple coming in, it's going to be spending sort of $6 billion a year on new content. Netflix is throwing $15 billion a year at it. All these companies are sort of looking at ways they can become the most dominant one in a sector that's already flooded with plenty of competition.
Emmalou Montgomery there. To the mountains of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where Fed Chair Jerome Powell will speak at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. Investors are paying close attention to his remarks since they're expecting another rate cut in September. But the comments this week from regional Fed presidents show policymakers are actually divided on the way forward. The Fed's rate policy doesn't just impact the U.S. Claude Lopez, Director of International Finance and Macroeconomics at the Milken Institute, explained what effect lower rates could have on emerging economies like Turkey.
It seems to be good news, especially the one that have a lot of debt in dollars, because the dollar become less strong, let's say. And so that means their debt is more sustainable.
Are there certain economies that have benefited or been particularly sensitive to what the Fed does, whether it raises or lowers interest rates?
Well, many of them are also borrowing in US dollars, such as Argentina, Brazil. You're talking about interest rate, but there is a direct link with the value of the dollar, the exchange rate. And so if that exchange rate comes higher, then that debt becomes more expensive, because at the end, those countries have their own currency, but they need to repay the debt in dollar. Also, a decrease in interest rate would lead investors to look again to emerging. It's not clear to me that will happen unless that those emerging countries have potential of growth and things like that.
So in order for investors to go there, they would have to have confidence in those emerging economies also. It's not just driven by Fed policy.
Of course not. It's always in relative terms. That means if I go there, is it better than if I stay where I am? In an environment where, I mean, there is more and more discussion regarding how much uncertainty there is in the world, from the trade policy to slowdown in Europe, even Germany, which usually is a strong economy. It's a combination of a lot of factors.
Now, we know if the Fed doesn't follow through on its projected interest rate cutting path, it's probably going to unnerve financial markets in the U.S. But what are the ramifications for emerging markets if the U.S. suddenly decides to, say, raise rates or keep them steady rather than cutting them?
First of all, I don't think it's a given that there will be 4 cuts, just because we will not have any more monetary policy when there will be an actual real slowdown. Regarding emerging countries, I really think that we are at such a level of interest rate, which is already quite low, that I really believe the impact will be minimal. That is going to make things maybe easier for some of the emerging. Some of them could pick up some of the investors, because at the end of the story, if U.S. continue to decrease the interest rate, that means that the U.S. is really not in a good shape.
That's Claude Lopez speaking to me there. Finally, a heartwarming tale. An 11-year-old Londoner has become one of the world's youngest restaurateurs. He opened up a pop-up vegan Caribbean restaurant after honing the cooking skills he learned from his mom. The young chef starts school again next month, but has ambitions to open a food bus one day. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.